The question has been asked, is our love affair with antibiotics slowly killing us? An expert in this area is in Ireland at the moment, Dr. Martin Blazern, MD, who specialises in infectious diseases. He joins us on the programme now. And a very good morning to you, Doctor. Firstly, are we over-reliant on antibiotics?
Antibiotics are tremendous drugs. They're the most important medical discoveries in the 20th century. We use them in all phases of medicine. They're extremely useful, but we are overusing them. And we have to pare down this overuse because it's clear that antibiotics not only have benefits, but they have costs.
What are those costs?
Well, we know the cost that's most well known is that they select for antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So the more we use antibiotics, the less useful they are. So we don't have antibiotics around to treat serious infections. But we're learning that they also have costs in metabolism, maybe increasing the rate of diabetes. We're doing work on children, and we have evidence that antibiotics may be increasing the risk rates of obesity and asthma. These are some of the diseases that have come up since World War II, since antibiotics were discovered.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it a case that our bodies perhaps had a natural resistance to certain bacteria, and indeed certain bacteria were good for us, but the overuse of antibiotics is affecting both of those areas I've just mentioned?
Yes, I think that's right. We're born with certain bacteria that we get from our mothers, and that's how it's been going on for millions of years, but we're changing that. And we're changing the bacteria, and the bacteria are talking to our cells. They're communicating to our cells. And we're changing that at some critical periods in development. So the song that the bacteria are singing to our human cells, the metabolic and immune cells that are developing, is different than it used to be.
I was reading an article during the week and it said, feel a chest infection coming on, think twice about those antibiotics you've been prescribed. The key word in that sentence for me was prescribed. The medical profession themselves, are they too quick to write out that script for antibiotics?
Everybody's too quick. The doctors never thought that there was a cost to antibiotics. The patients never thought there's a cost to antibiotics. So if there's only potential benefit, why not use them, even if there's a 10% efficacy? But if the efficacy is low, as in the case of these chest infections, which are mostly viral, then now we have to recalculate it and figure out which are the ones that really need antibiotics and which are the ones that we can wait a few days.
So where does this sort of campaign need to go? Who needs to be educated? Is it everybody? Or do you think in the first instance, those writing the scripts, the GPs, for example, they need to be convinced not to be so free in handing out antibiotics?
It's both. I'm a medical scientist. I go around lecturing to doctors and scientists. I also have written a book for the public called Missing Microbes about the risk of overuse of antibiotics. And the dialogue in the examining room involves both doctor and patient. Sometimes patients are demanding antibiotics. Sometimes doctors are just giving them. So we have to understand there's cost there. Once we begin to understand that, practices will change.
Now, say someone listening to this who perhaps may have had something as simple as an ear infection when they were younger and were continuously being prescribed antibiotics. Can you rebuild up your microbes, or once they're gone, they're gone? Or what can you do, in other words, to sort of, you know, trying to counteract the impact the overuse of antibiotics may have had on yourself?
Yeah, so the first issue is to prevent further damage. Only use antibiotics selectively when they're needed. That's what doctors are for. Go see the doctor and see, do you really need the antibiotic, or are you not so ill? And in terms of restoration, that's what APC here in Cork is working on, and we and others are working on trying to, if people need an antibiotic, can we give certain microbes back, certain probiotics, not necessarily the ones on the shelves today, but new ones that we develop using scientists and that we rigorously test.
Are there antibiotics widely in our food?
Well, in many countries, I don't know what the situation is in Ireland, but in the United States, most of the antibiotics go to farm animals to fatten them up. The farmers found out 70 years ago that they could promote the growth of their livestock using antibiotics. So some, there may be some residual antibiotics in the foods in the supermarkets. There have been surveys in the U.S. showing antibiotics in the meat, sometimes in the milk.
It's unfortunate but remarkable too, isn't it, how illnesses, how germs can adapt to sort of counteract antibiotics?
Well, this is anyone who didn't believe in Charles Darwin before certainly should believe it now, because the microbes are proving how correct he was. It is survival of the fittest, and the antibiotics are selecting for resistant organisms.
Finally, Doctor, if people wish to get a hold of the book that you mentioned there, because I imagine there's a lot of reading that could be done on this issue, how can they get hold of it?
My book is called Missing Microbes. The publisher in the UK is One World. It's also published in the US by Henry Holt, in Canada by HarperCollins. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And it's now being translated into 16 languages.
Dr. Martin Blaser, thank you so much for sparing us your time.
Thank you so much.
Now, I'm joined in studio by Maureen. Good morning to you, Maureen.
Good morning, Greg.
And we're talking about your mum, Bernadette O'Donnell.
That's right.
Tell us about Bernadette.
Bernadette is the mum of a very big family. She lives in Milford, and we were all raised there. There are 10 of us, and I'm the oldest. And this summer, I entered a competition in the Irish Times, flying visit competition. And it's part of their series on emigration, which is called Generation Emigration. Every week they have an article. And three of my mum's sons, three of my brothers, are in Edmonton in Canada.
Which is tough for mums, isn't it? And mums and dads as well. You know, you raise your children and, you know, you hope that they're all doing well around you, but some fly the coop, so to speak. So, you know, the opportunity to see them is rare.
It's very rare when they're so far away.
It's hard to get the money together in reality, isn't it, from both perspectives. So your mum... it was 10,000 entries and your mum was selected. So what was unique about her story, or how did you put her story that was such a success?
First of all, the story was 15 words. 15.
Really?
15 words.
Okay.
It was like a sentence, a tiebreaker sentence, one sentence. And I think the thing that had the greatest impact was that it's three from one family. Mm-hmm. And I suppose I said I'd bring mum. So, you know, it wasn't looking for a family holiday for myself. It was more to bring her and get her a chance and opportunity to be with the three boys in the one place. Because when they're away and one comes home or two come home, they're never all home together. Mm. And it's just nice to get a few of us reunited.
And what was the sentence? Can you remember it?
A very simple sentence. I would bring mum to see my brothers and their names, which are Brian and Aidan and John, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Simple as that.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes less is more, isn't it?
Well, we're limited, I suppose, in the 15 words.
And have you had the trip yet?
No, we plan to go. We can go anytime in the 12 months.
Brilliant.
From the prize was awarded. So I'm a teacher, so we're sort of limited by school holidays, and we're also limited by the Canadian weather. The winter is quite severe and quite long.
So you probably might leave it till next year.
Might leave it till late spring, early summer.
It's a great thing to look forward to, though.
Fabulous.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Wonderful.
And I think lots of people listening will know what we're talking about, because loads of families are being separated and a lot of the emigration, I don't know the situation with your brothers, but a lot of it's not by choice, it's by necessity.
Well, my three, first of all, the boys, we call them the boys, but they're all men in their 30s.
Men,
realistically,
yeah.
They're grown men.
They're always boys.
But they are boys and they'll always be sons to mommy, I suppose. But it was definitely as a consequence of the downturn in the economy that they emigrated. There's no question about it. But the sense of adventure and the opportunity to travel, you know, as well, does play a part in it for them. None of the three of them are married men. Like, I would know of other families where the situation is that a dad has emigrated, and further articles in that series in the Irish Times, you know, would have even, there was a Fanad story, Sean McGinley's story last week, you know, and that's a dad, that's a married man talking about being split from family and definitely economic necessity is forcing that sort of emigration. My brother John was self-employed. He had a small business doing body repairs. So, you know, that sort of small, very small business, and a sole trader like that is definitely hard struck in a downturn.
And look, we're not going to get too deep on it too, but if you are... the supports, if you have your own business, you're self-employed, and you, for whatever reason, not because of your own fault, you lose that. There's
there
very little support for compared to someone who had a job and lost it, you know, in terms of social welfare payments and
that's what have you.
So
it's very difficult.
It's
very vulnerable.
It's not really a great reward, is it, for trying to
establish a business,
exactly. Work for yourself, or maybe give a job to someone else. It's not great. So Bernadette's a special woman, is she?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us a bit about Bernadette in case she's listening.
Oh gosh, I'm sure she's listening. Well, she's been a celebrity now for about a week since this all kicked off last Tuesday. And
has she bought any new dresses, extra jewellery? I mean, how is she embracing the celebrity status?
Will
she go into Big Brother, maybe? Was she possible?
Well, you never know. She's a new bag. My sister Deirdre came home with a new handbag and purse, which I was informed about for the trip to Canada. I was thinking I'd need to start thinking of my wardrobe for this journey too. Mum's very down to earth. She's very, very much a homemaker and brilliant at raising children. We are a very big family, and she's now taking care of her grandchildren with the same dedication and care. So that would be her defining characteristic. And I think in all of this sharing of this news now in regard to the competition on Facebook, an awful lot of the comment is not me that's congratulated. It's, this is brilliant for Bernie.
Of course,
how wonderful for your mum. Those are the comments. And people do have great regard for her. And it's lovely now to see that focused on
her. Well, she's a 1 in 10,000 mum,
she
at
is,
least.
Absolutely.
But to you, I'm sure she's a 1 in 1,000,000. But she came out on top of 10,000. It's going to be a great wee trip for you
too.
It's
going to be wonderful. We're going to have a great time. Mm. Just see the boys, hang out where they hang out.
So when did you start back at school before I let you go?
I am back at school 2 days
now. How does that feel? After your 6 months off?
6 months off. I always say I look forward to the holidays and I look forward to the return. I really do.
What class do you teach?
I'm in secondary school.
Are you? Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so different end of the spectrum, but a very exciting and challenging.
Excellent. And what are you teaching?
I teach English and a small bit of history as well.
Okay, I'll watch my P's and Q's. So.
Oh, you're grand.
Maureen, thanks so much for coming in.
And
best of luck to Bernadette O'Donnell. You shall have a fantastic time in Canada. See the three boys.
They'll be listening to this on playback later,
they?
I'm sure.
Superb.
Yeah, it's the middle
fantastic.
Of the night there now.
Well, so what's their names again?
Brian and Aidan and John.
Excellent. And hopefully, they're probably very happy there, but it'd be lovely to see them home at some point as well.
I'm sure.
Thank you so much for coming in, Maureen. It's a lovely story. And pass on your best wishes to Bernadette.
I will. Okay. I will.
What
thank
kind
you.
Of music does she like?
Oh, she's very wide tastes.
She'll enjoy my
she'll
stuff
enjoy
then.
Your stuff.
Sometimes I just lean over to the right and press a button. I don't know what's coming.
Oh, I think you'll find something she'll like.
Thank you so much, Maureen, for coming in. That's fantastic. And well done, Bernadette O'Donnell. 1 in 10,000 moments, to say, but I'm sure to everyone else it's a 1 in 1,000,000. Eton, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Lovely name.
Yeah.
What
is
it?
It's a mythical Irish Celtic story kind of thing. So.
Is this your stage name or real name?
No, it's my real name.
Lovely. And what's your second name?
Sweeney Keogh.
Really, very nice. Ethan. And you're from County Leitrim?
I am, yeah.
What part?
The border, kind of Sligo-Leitrim, but the Leitrim side of it.
Kinlochy kind of area, is it? No?
Kind of Drumahair.
Okay.
Drumahair, 5 Melbourne, yeah.
Excellent. You're the only person living in Leitrim, I understand, no?
Yeah, there's two of us now.
Two, is that?
We got a set of traffic lights a few
really?
Months ago. Yeah,
and,
it was
I presume
big celebration.
The TDs and everyone turned up. And
yeah. I actually think they got taken off us.
Oh, I'm only joking. I love County Leitrim and I've got family from there. So, well, they're probably not my family. I've probably been disowned now at this stage. Ethan, tell us a bit about how you got into music. Is it like from when you were a toddler or is it a new thing or what's the story?
Yeah. Well, my mom and my dad were in a band and I suppose that's kind of where it started. I mean, my mum was pregnant with me when she was still playing on stage and born and raised on rock and roll is what I say. So it was their record collection that influenced me, you know, Joni Mitchell, Lou Reed, 70s punk movement, 60s folk movement, that kind of stuff.
Kate Bush is also one of your influences. Yeah,
yeah.
So you were literally forming your musical taste in the womb.
I really was,
quite
yeah,
amazing.
Literally.
Fantastic. Do you count that as the first time I was ever being up on stage? Or
I don't know, can I?
I think so. So tell us then about, do you perform? Are you one of those people that uses social media very much to get your stuff out? What way do you give your fans your material?
Yeah, well, I use social media a lot. It's really helpful. As well as that, I use, you know, I gig a lot and do open mics and you meet other songwriters and they might spread the word of you and you spread their word, and you know, it kind of word of mouth is still.
And where most of your gigs, is it around Sligo or Leitrim area?
No, well, I've played in actually the Cavern Club in Liverpool.
So, oh, fantastic.
Yeah, that was a really big thing for me last November. And I play up in Leo's Tavern with Moya Brennan
lovely.
As well. Yeah,
great
which
place.
Is lovely, yeah. And just all around the Roisin Dubh, Galway. I'm actually playing in Cavan in Blessings.
All right,
on
so you're
Sunday.
International then, so sorry, I did you a disservice. And was there, did you get any sort of spiritual connection with being on stage in the Cavern? I mean.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, the late, great Cilla Black. Mm. And I was actually watching the series Cilla before I went on. And I just, when I went up, that's all I could think about was Cilla Black was on this stage, so, yeah.
And not the Beatles and
oh, yeah,
everyone else.
But,
no, but it's a nice
too,
thing
yeah.
because we do forget how amazing she was in that era as a singer before she transformed into this TV personality, because she was right in there at the time, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she was. Great, a very sad loss, actually, Cilla Black, but she's remembered so fondly, which is a credit to her. Mm. Now, when you're writing your own music, you're a younger person. I'm not going to patronise you, what have you, but, you know, you can get people that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and they can draw on life experience, and I'm not saying you can't, but, you know, when you're writing, what are you writing about, or what do you feel you're writing about?
Well, I like storytelling, and sometimes a person might say something or I'd see something and it would just spark a story for me that I want to write about. And I just kind of go on that journey and kind of let people escape in the song as well, you know. They can envision themselves.
And do you go into your own little world when you're on stage? Or are you that type of form? Or you're very aware of your audience? Or what way do you...
Yeah, I'm aware of my audience. Mm. You know, I kind of feed off the energy and get a really good feel for what they...
Excellent. And you perform on your own, do you? Or
just me and the guitar.
Except when you're with Moya, obviously. But
yeah.
Okay. Right, you're going to sing us a song?
I am.
Tell us about it first.
This is called True Rapture. And I was reading Patti Smith's autobiography, Just Kids, and that idea of people, all eccentric characters, living in the Chelsea Hotel. And this is just about a young woman just watching it and seeing all these characters and then becoming one.
Oh, lovely. So. Okay, take it away. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
Do you want me to tell you what I'm really thinking, though?
Okay.
Young, beautiful and talented. I'm gutted. What happened to me?
Oh, no, I still have time left.
Oh, come on. Now, that is absolutely beautiful in your own stuff as well.
Thank you.
How do you want to progress your career? Because you probably would be a candidate maybe for, you know, something like The Voice or The X Factor or whatever. Is that something you'd ever consider?
I don't think so. I kind of think
now,
that...
Don't rule it out because I'll play this back now if I see you on The X Factor next year, but go on.
No, well, I think that you kind of need the experience of live gigging and, you know, you learn the industry.
And by the way, trade. I know you're doing very, very well, but, you know, there's sort of like... can be a glass ceiling trying to get to the next
definitely.
Level, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I know I'm not for any way suggesting
difficult.
That you're not doing fantastic as it is, but you know what I'm on about that
yeah,
sort
I do.
Of a...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you have to come out... Yeah, you know, you want to turn this into your career, you
yeah.
know, so you need...
Yeah. Well, I'm actually going to be recording my EP in October in Westland, which is really great for me, with an upcoming producer called Adam Brennan.
Mm.
And that's where Bono and... You know, the Pogues and everybody has recorded there. So that's really, really important, like, for me. And then that's kind of will hopefully bring me through that glass ceiling.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
And do you like collaborate with other people or is there anything of that in the cards?
I do. Well, I've a lot of friends, like I said, that are musicians and I kind of work with them as well. But mainly it's me on my own when I'm gigging, yeah.
And Eitan, do you think that you'll be able to progress as you are based in Leitrim or do you have plans maybe to move on? I don't know what your situation is with going on to college or what have you. What's your plans there?
Yeah, well, I'm just going into my leaving cert year, so I'm only 17.
You did transition year, did you?
I did, yeah. And of course I did. But I'm pretty happy in Leitrim and then just kind of travelling then to my gigs. You know, it's a great space to kind of write and just get away from everything as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Are you going to sing one more for us, do you think?
Yeah,
I don't know if Yvonne mentioned. Do you have to retune?
No, I'll do a song called Whole Death.
Do you mind?
Yeah,
okay.
No, it's fine.
Take it away.
To a pod, a shady figure with steel eyes in the half dark. The glasses clink, his keys rattle as he calls.
Again, fantastic. That's a bit more rocky there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's only a few weeks old. So.
Is it? Fantastic. Yeah. Brilliant. First time you played on the radio?
Yeah, actually, it is.
It's exclusive. You're now officially my favourite singer-songwriter from County Leitrim, North County Leitrim.
Perhaps the only singer-songwriter from North County.
Charlie McGettigan?
Charlie McGettigan.
Uh-huh. I'll tell you. Nice. Not just one. A pretty face. So where can people... Your EP's coming out, but I presume people can hit you on Facebook or... Do you have a YouTube account as well?
I do, This is Ethan. But links to all that will be on my Facebook. So
just go there, and it's E-T-R-I-N.
That's it, yeah.
Excellent. And search that on Facebook. They can like you. And
Ethan Music on Facebook.
Ethan Music. Yeah. And when can people expect the EP, sorry?
In the summer of next year.
Okay, well, don't rush yourself.
No, I'll have more stuff.
But the idea is then, I presume that you can promote it with the festivals and the gigs and what have you. Makes an awful lot of sense.
Yeah.
Look, best of luck with your last year in school as well.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you're busy?
Yeah.
And is this mum here with you? Very proud?
Yeah.
Excellent. What was your band, mum?
Diesel Heart.
Yeah. I'm sure there are people that are listening that will have...
A long time ago.
But all around the Northwest, was it used performed?
Yes, all around the Northwest.
And
Kenny included.
Excellent. Diesel
Heart.
Heart. Yeah. And you're semi-retired now, are you?
Very retired.
Just a proud mum. Not just a proud mum, which is... I'm not trying to belittle that. Listen, Ethan, thanks so much for coming
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. We're going to link off your Facebook page from ours, and I'm sure you're going to get tons of hits. Any chance of you performing up here in the...
I might be going up to Leo's Tavern in the near future.
Excellent.
Yeah, so keep an eye on my Facebook page. I should be going up there soon.
Look, you're hugely talented. I love the different styles. I love your voice. It's natural. Thanks. It's not put on. You know, sometimes people try and be different and stand out and kind of get say words silly like love instead of love and stuff. But yours is, you know, natural and it's who you are, and that's really refreshing. Thanks so much for coming in, and
thank
best of luck with your career.
Me. Thank you.
David Moody from St. Johnston. How are you, David?
I'm not so bad at all, Greg.
Very good.
In the show.
It's my pleasure. You were up early this morning, were you?
Oh, not too bad. Just the usual time now.
Okay. Now, you are one of two entrants from Donegal hoping to pick up the coveted prize of the 2015 Donegal FBD Young Farmer of the Year competition. So tell us a little bit about you. What age are you, David, and what's your farming interest?
Well, I'm 21 years old, and we're a tillage farm here at home, and we grow a variety of different crops, and... that's pretty much it.
Was it a tough decision to follow in the footsteps and enter the farming industry?
Not really. You know, I always had an interest in it, and it's something now. I always seen myself going down that line.
Would you class yourself sort of as a traditional farmer, or are you trying to, you know, with your youth, trying to sort of introduce maybe a new way of thinking in how you operate the farm?
Well, I suppose we're always looking for new and improved ways of doing things. And like anybody, I suppose, we're trying to cut costs and maximise profits as much as possible.
Yeah, and it's a tough industry, isn't it, really? I mean, you really have to count every cent.
It is. Especially this year now. This year has been a very challenging year on many different fronts. And it's a testing year, but... there's not much we can do about it.
Well, that's it. A lot of it's down to weather too as well, and markets, and there's so many variables. You know, a lot of businesses, other types of businesses, you know, they can sort of see where they're going to be in a couple of months' time. With farming, it can be up and down. And
yep, definitely so. I totally agree now, because one day you can never plan too far ahead, which is unfortunate now. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is, and... if we didn't enjoy it, we wouldn't be doing it.
Now, the competition closes on the 1st of September, which is not very far away. Can we do anything to help you win this, David?
Unfortunately not.
What?
Unfortunately not. No, no. I think, as far as I know, it's out of my hands now at this moment in time. And it's in the hands of the judges at the moment.
Well, we wish you the absolute very best with it, David.
Thank you, Nick.
And it was great to chat to you. And hopefully I'm going to be speaking to you in a week or two, and you'll be the Donegal FBD Young Farmer of the Year.
Time will tell.
Very good. Well, you're pretty relaxed, aren't you? You're a laid-back fella, anyway. You'll see what comes.
Good man. So.
All right, David. Best of luck to you. That's David Moody from St. Johnstone. He's one of the two Donegal entrants, indeed. If you have the second guy or girl that's taking part in that, text us in their names so we can give them a mention as well. But we wish both of them the very best of luck. Wouldn't it be great to have that prize up here in County Donegal or in the Northwest January? BO Ireland was founded by transition year students in Cláiste Áilge, St. Eunan's College, Loreto Convent, and Errigal College. Committee member Joseph McKelvey's in front of me in studio now. Joseph, good morning to you.
Greg, good morning to you.
Indeed. Tell us about this BO Ireland. What's the idea of it?
Well, it started back in 2009. There were, I would be very interested in music and I'd been travelling to gigs and I always saw that it was very difficult for bands to get audiences no more than your last guest.
Mm.
You know, they're playing original music and unfortunately not a lot of people want to listen. So they're not expensive to have, so we decided to get some of them down to Letterkenny, and the transitioners in the three schools, with the help of their teachers, Elaine Gallagher and Gracie Peoples, and the crowd in Errigal College, we all came together and decided we put a gang together for them, and there were about 200 students there to have the first BO gig with a band, Disconnect 4 from Galway, who have gone, but the other band, Not Squares, are still going strong.
Brilliant. And there's a sort of bit of an emphasis in this too, in promoting the language, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, after a number of years of us doing it, we decided to take it nationally, seeing that we thought it's something that every school could do. It's not a costly thing to do, and there's a chance for schools to make money. So we put a competition together, and in that competition, we decided that along with having to put on a gig, which was going to be pretty cool, we were going to have to put an educational emphasis on it as well. So we decided you're going to have to promote a bit of Irish. You're going to have to promote a social conscience of some description, which for this year is going to be the commemoration 2016. We met with John Concannon recently, and he has attached us to Gashka. And on the back of that, for this year, all schools participating will have to promote the commemoration 2016. And along with that too, we've managed to get IMRO on board with us, and we also have to promote an IMRO awareness within the competition. So it's supposed to be a whole class activity where some people will organise a gig, some people will promote the Irish, some people will do the social conscience, some people will do the IMRO, and then there's social media, Twitter, Facebook, all of those things that need to be done, same as organising any event, no more than your own concerts. If you don't do your social media and all the rest of it, then you're not going to have any success with it.
And it's almost like sneaking in education in the back door, isn't it? Because you are educating people on the whole social media aspect of it, but organisation, promotion, teamwork, as you say, there's the social conscience aspect of it, the language. So it's people can the students can have fun, but they are also, you know, they're being moulded and learning things that they can apply in their lives in the future.
Well, that's very true. The skills that they learn are things that they definitely wouldn't ordinarily learn in the classroom, you know.
So the at the moment, what's coming up at the moment, is it the competition or is it the concert? So tell us what's
well, there's a bit of both. We always do a little bit of local stuff,
yeah.
But then we're going national again. We're putting a national we'll be putting a national face forward in order to get schools involved, and very much thanks to our local councillor Joe McHugh. Now initially we started off with
he's a TD now. He'll give out to both of us if you
well you know to be fair,
former councillor.
Well, the TD and Aristatch,
exactly.
We'll give him his proper title,
indeed.
But if it wasn't for him in the last year or two, we wouldn't have survived. We started off with great help from the Donegal County Council and the Donegal ETB, and then we got help from the likes of IMRO along the way. But if it wasn't for Joe, we may have given up, you know.
Mm.
But he has insisted that we continue, and he is making sure that we get the funding available to run. Running a national competition is an expensive affair, you
yeah.
know. We get judges like Jackie Hayden and Paddy McKenna, and you know, like, they don't charge us any money, but just the whole logistics of it, trying to get schools.
If you're going
to
do it, you want to do it correct, and you have to reach out, and you have to, there's administration and other checks and balances you have to put in, stuff that we don't see but you have to look after behind the scenes, really.
Absolutely, yeah. And the whole thing is run voluntarily now from Donegal, but as you say, without money you're going nowhere, you know.
Yep.
You can't do anything.
So it's been opened up now countrywide. Are you accepting applications now, or what stage are we at?
Yeah, we're at the minute organising a launch. We're hoping to put a launch on the back of the Hardworking Class Heroes Festival in Dublin, which also coordinates with the Fail Today. Fail Today would be the National Teachers Day, which is on the Saturday. So we're trying to coordinate the both, and I think we're trying to get some schools up there. Joe McHugh is going to give them a little bit of walk around Dáil Éireann, and we'll have a chat with John Concannon about the 2016 celebration. It'll all culminate with a gig somewhere in Dublin. The details have yet to be teased out. Gashka's been a big thing for us. You know, we've never been involved with Gashka before, and Gashka's a huge body. So if you get involved in Bjorn now, you can also get your Gashka awards on the back of it. So that's a huge thing for us.
And the 7-minute videos, is that what the various schools are looking, that's the basis of competition as well? What's going to be contained within those videos?
Well, naturally, if you have 50, 60, 100 schools participating, we can't go and see them all. As we just explained, the money's thin, and plus the time, we wouldn't have the time.
It makes sense to use the technology, doesn't it?
You know? So we tell them what it is we're looking for. They have to make a 7-minute video, not too long, not too short. And within that 7-minute video, they have to explain to us why their gig and their presentation and their promotion of Irish, the promotion of 2016, is better than everyone else's. And then we used to select 6 of them. Hopefully this year we're going to have 12 of them come to Donegal over 2 days in the RCC, where they will get to tell the judges why their gig was the best, and where they'll get to tell the judges why they promoted 2016 and the Gaelic better than any other school in Ireland. Now, we have been national all along. Our first ever winner, which was 4 years ago, came from Bridgetown, County Wexford, as far down as you can go, the Malinhead of Wexford. We had Yall two years ago, the year before that, the winners came from Limerick. And for the first time ever this year, the winners came from Carrick, County Donegal.
Brilliant.
So we've had a national exposure all along, even though we've been kind of an underground kind of a movement. Yeah. You know, hopefully we'll try and get a little further.
But now you've got that extra kick to move on for this next time. And, you know, we're blessed on this programme to have some fantastic musicians, young and old. But one thing I've noticed a lot with the younger musicians, and we had Rory in from In Their Thousands earlier on, is how people are embracing storytelling, our heritage, the language in their music, you know.
Yeah, no,
which is a nice thing. So this taps into that as well, you know, because there's an appetite for it amongst singer-songwriters and performers as well.
Yeah, what Rory and Declan and them are at there with In Their Thousands is, like, we've had In Their Thousands a number of times, you know, and what really makes me feel badly, you know, they can go off to Cork, nobody's going to know who they are, and they might be 5 on stage and there might be another 5 watching. So it's sad, you know. We do an awful lot to promote music from outside, what's cool, what's hip, and how do you become, it's a catch-22, like, anybody gets a chance to listen to In Their Thousands regularly is going to like it.
Of course,
it's just
that
it's just not regular enough. It's very difficult for them. So we're just trying to give them an audience, and please God, people will take on to their music and take it from there.
Right, Joseph, any teachers or what have you that are listening, or parents that are involved in committees or whatever, how can they get their students, family involved in this then?
Well, you know, we have a website, you know, and this year we've been very lucky to get a man by the name of Frank Dooley, a past principal from Balbuffet, Stornoller College. He's helping us organise our money and everything else. And if you go to the website, you'll get the details of the competition there. The exact details for this year's one won't be released for another week or two. We'll try and get the website up. We're trying to make sure we know exactly where we're going before we start. And we have one piece of sad news. We had a great girl involved with us all along, Carmel Baker, but unfortunately she's moved her post from Collishaly to Kenny here to Buncrana. And hopefully she'll be able to start it down there. But she was a huge help to us. Like, we would never have had, in our early years, we got on Matt Cooper, national radio early years, you know, and it was Carmel did all that. Maya Brennan and Paddy McKenna, Jackie Hayden founded you too. Carmel gets him all the way to Donegal here to adjudicate the competition. An absolute gentleman he is, you know. So much thanks to Carmel, and wishing her
There's a vacuum there that needs to be filled.
Anybody wants to fill it. We need somebody that's good at the website and everything else. But
I'm sure you'll have loads of people want to get involved. Joseph McKelvey, thanks so much for coming to the studio, and best of luck with the competition.
Gormaigat, Greg.
Gormaigat. Now, there is only one annual festival in Ireland that celebrates the music of Bob Dylan. It's Dylan Fest on the Loch, and it's held in Moville. And Bobby joins us in studio now. How are you, Bobby?
Yeah, very well.
Hard to believe it's the only one, given how influential Mr. Dylan was and remains so.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I've been doing quite a lot in Scotland, and done a few concerts down in England. And when I came to Moville last year, it was very impressive. Especially, I love to come to Ireland to do the Dylan, because Dylan is a big fan of Irish.
Yeah, cool. And a fan of yours too.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm a big
Tell
fan.
Tell us about,
yeah.
No, but...
Well, Bob Dylan, obviously, I met him 2 years ago, yeah. And fantastic man. They say when you meet your idol, you disappoint, but no, wasn't disappointed, because I'm a film actor. I've worked with Ken Loach, and I've worked with a lot of film, Robbie Coltrane, the guy from Hannibal, and he was just the same as any other human being, Bob, and he liked me doing, like, a Rolling Stone. So I took him back to 1965 at Newport Folk Festival, and... what he did say to me, he says, "Are you busy, Robert?" I says, "Oh, I'm really doing well. I'm building up." He says, "Well, you owe me a lot of royalties."
so he has a sense of humour as well.
It's a wee sense of humour. But he was a lovely, lovely guy. He shook my hand, and it was good. And he gave me, I says, "Well, I'm doing this to the rest of my day till I die." I says, "Because your voice came to me. I never went to that. And I didn't mean to be cheeky that way, but I couldn't believe it. I picked up the mouth organ within 2 minutes to do all the songs, and I do all the songs without reading. I put the dark glasses, everything else. I don't look like Bob Dylan, but it's the voice that counts, you know?
Of course it is, course yeah, it is, definitely. Yeah. I think sometimes when we, you know, at a certain level, when people start trying to look very much like the person, it can get a bit tacky. Do you know what I mean? As you say, it's the voice and it's the music. And
Bobby does Dylan, you know, it's all that. Yeah. And Jerry McLaughlin's been very good. He is absolutely fantastic. He does, he's a promoter. He does Mavol in the Dylan Fest. And there's a lot of great musicians, like Al Dees and a lot of other people over there this weekend, who's fantastic. But as I say, I'm headlining at the biggest Dylan Fest in Europe, which is great, at the Cashelmara. And Valerie and Kieran, who own the Cashelmara, has been fantastic. They've believed in me. So I've came back to do this, and I'm so honoured to come to Ireland to do this.
And it's your career now?
Oh yes, my big career, yeah, because I do a lot of film work. If I don't do a lot of I took a day more with Bob Dylan and what I do in my film acting, because I was in the film Sweet 16.
Very good.
And, yeah, I was in that, and I was in the Valhalla Rising, mm-hmm. Stuff like that, with the director Nicholas Winging Refn. So I do...
It kind of suits, really, with the acting career with the music, because you have that bit of flexibility, I presume.
Yeah, well, what I do is, as a film actor, I go into Bob Dylan's shoes and I go into his character, and then when I go on stage, I think of his poet, I think of everything, and then when I sing a song like A Hurricane, I think of Ruben Carter Hurricane, you know the story about that. And then I go through all the songs and I just tune into Bob Dylan, and he's just fantastic.
You're going to tune into Bob Dylan now for us, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so tell us, can people see you perform this weekend? Sorry, what?
Yeah, I'm going to be there at the Cashelmara tonight.
Yes.
In Mavol. So I'll be there, and the venue starts at 7:30 to 7:30, and I'm supported by the Dylanites. So they're from Derry, which is great. Two guys are backing me up, and they're fantastic. So they're supporting me for about an hour, and then I'll go on about 8:30. But anybody out there want to see Bob Dylan, if you want to go back to 1965, 66, I'll take you back. And I'll give you a great time.
And you channel him, really?
Oh yeah, definitely channel him. I definitely do that. I don't just go and go 1-2 and stuff. I really, really take this serious. Yeah. I know the Bob Dylan fans out there, please come and see this. You'll never disappoint.
Fantastic.
And, my voice a wee bit rough, but I've been singing constantly. But I'll do this one, and I think I'll do the classic one that everybody likes.
Go on.
It's Blowing in the Wind.
Brilliant. This is Bobby Does Dylan live on the Weekend Edition.
How many roads must a man walk then before you come with my man? Yes, and how many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in his sand? Yes, and how many times must a Cambo fly before it's forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it's wise to be seen? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? Yes, and how many times must a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? Yes, and how many years must one live before you people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take to be knows that too many people die? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing.
Excellent. Bobby does Dylan, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. And God bless everybody from Ireland. Thank you.
Indeed. And just to remind us once again, it's Dylan Fest on the Lock. You're headlining tonight.
I'm headlining tonight at the Cashiomara Hotel in Mavill, and I'll be there at 7:30. It doors open about seven.
Yeah, get in there for 7. Right. It's a movable feat. You know, in this country, we're late for everything. So.
I love everybody from Ireland. Please come and see it. You'll not be disappointed. I love yous all from Ireland. Please come and support me.
Okay.
And if when I meet Bob Dylan again, I'm going to tell them the Irish people are the best people.
Exactly. Okay. Thanks so much. Bobby does Dylan there performing live for us. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for that.